not intentionally spray my children with or family with toxic aerosols, but as you must know, 80% or better do not have any family or...
I have contacted the Virginia Pollution Control Board, National Weather Service, Oceana and Damneck military bases, NOAA, NASA, the Department of Defense, Brookhaven National Laboratory, the Department of Energy, the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, the Health Department, the Department of Travel, countless federal agents and operators, the Virginia Beach Police Department, and even the White House, all to no avail.
Indigo pilots are chosen from the top ranks within the Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard. Most of the pilots are, quote, hardened to humanity, unquote, and could care less about killing off unwanted or leeching aspects of America and the world. I swear to you, the majority of the pilots are like machines. I call them tanker terminators. We are paid more than any other pilot for our service, other than Air Force One pilots, who make as much or more and are kept in a dark secret world for their own protection.
There is a rising international concern about the existence of airborne chemical spraying, bolstered by a growing body of scientific evidence. What is in the air that we are breathing?
A decade and a half into public radar, the fight against aerial geoengineering has shifted from fringe suspicion to a populist front line against unelected technocrats playing God with the atmosphere.
We're in a war. This is a war against me, you, our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. This is war raised upon us.
These programs consist of spraying tons of patented aerosol pollutants into our skies without public consent. This includes aluminum, barium, strontium, and more.
I don't want some creep ramming chemicals down my throat without my permission.
Pushback has finally reached the EPA and the HHS, now forced to at least pretend to look into it amid mounting state-level revolts. The Environmental Protection Agency established public reporting systems and launched dedicated web resources on contrails and geoengineering, claiming total transparency.
In the case of stratospheric aerosol injection, it's not like it's thoroughly studied, it's approved, it's trusted. Instead, you have people who just want to do it on their own, like try to get themselves someone to hand over $1 billion to just go dump a whole bunch of sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere. There are entities and people who would want to drastically scale these activities up.
In multiple states, including Florida, Tennessee, and Montana, legislation passed or advanced outright prohibiting weather modification and geoengineering, with bills in over a dozen other states demanding investigations into suspected atmospheric tampering. A federal Clear Skies Act proposal seeks to ban such activities nationwide, complete with EPA-led probes into public complaints.
And we have documents to prove the existence of these programs going back decades, documents hundreds of pages long. We have an 800-page U.S. Senate document from 1978 outlining the scope and scale of these programs then, specifically calling for intergovernmental cooperation, even between, quote, otherwise adversarial nations, because of the cross-border ramifications of these programs. You can't just geoengineer over your own country. Who's the biggest player? Obviously, the United States of America, because of the size of our military. The U.S. military has three times more aerial tankers, which are the primary aircraft used in these operations, three times more than all other militaries in the world combined.
Soil, water, and snow samples across the heartland still show anomalous metal spikes correlating with heavy spray days, while respiratory issues, brain fog, crop failures, and bizarre weather patterns fuel demands for real answers.
The amount of aluminum in our soil now is 5 times to 10 times higher than it was even last year.
They're now creating crops that aren't bothered by aluminum. It's like, okay, well, we're going to pump the skies full of aluminum. Then you're going to be forced to buy our aluminum-resistant seeds to survive, which is just crazy.
What began as bold vows to expose the aerial spraying of aluminum, barium, and strontium has been reduced to bureaucratic whispers. Kennedy's warnings of stratospheric aerosol injections and weather weaponization have been abandoned. Another knife in the back from those who swore they'd stand with the people against the globalist experiment.
We have two new products at theoliveshowstore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for tests. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing and they're now available at theoliveshowstore.com. While you're there, get the ultramethylene blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at theoliveshowstore.com, funding the second American revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head on.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Psych, it's Rob Blue. That's right, I'm hosting at least for the next 2 days. And depending on where things go, maybe a couple days after. But for right now, I'm your host at The War Room. Thank you for joining me. You can see I've got a massive spread of articles. Yesterday, it was actually last night. When did I post it? 9:45 p.m. I was sitting on the couch, perusing through X, and I found a positive about the war in Iran, which may turn out to be a bunch of other positives. But right now, one of the positives is Baltimore says Iran war causing fluoride shortage for water system. And, of course, they're framing it as a bad thing that everybody's teeth are going to fall out if they don't put poison in their stomach. But we're going to cover that probably in the third hour. I've got a long screed on fluoride, including an interview that Alex Jones did with Dr. Paul Connett. Oh, it was probably 2012, 2013. This is an old one. And like I said, anytime I get in here, I'm going to pull out something from the vault. Also, it was interesting. A friend of mine texted me a picture. They were at some show down in Austin, and sitting in front of them was the original turd blossom, Karl Rove. And I'm like, oh, I got to find the times when Alex Jones confronted Karl Rove at the airport in Cleveland. At one point, he called him TB. He said, "I'm your friend, TB." So. We're going to get into all that, but let's jump into Iran right now. BBC's reporting, Trump says Iran talks could resume over the next 2 days, says U.S. says ships have been turned back in the blockade. So I got a series of clips. These were on Fox News earlier today. They had Mike Waltz on, who's the ambassador to the U.N. And also Peter Doocy was putting out a Trump it was a True Social tweet that Trump put out saying, hey, to a New York Post reporter, stand by in Islamabad. We might have something here in the next couple of days. So let's just go with clip one first. Here it is.
That he told a New York Post reporter on the phone just now to stay put in Islamabad near where the Pakistan peace talks are taking place. The quote is this. The president said, you should stay there, really, because something could be happening over the next 2 days and we're more inclined to go there. It's more likely, you know why? Because the field marshal is doing a great job. That field marshal is the Pakistani official in charge of the talks, General Asim Munir. The president of France also poking and prodding at both sides, the U.S. and Iran, trying to get them back to the negotiating table soon. He writes, it's equally important that the Strait of Hormuz be reopened unconditionally without restrictions or tolls as soon as possible. Under these conditions, negotiations should be able to resume quickly with the support of key parties concerned. But the president is not super sympathetic to European wishes right now. This morning he said, Europe is desperate for energy, and yet the United Kingdom refuses to open North Sea oil, one of the greatest fields in the world. Tragic. Aberdeen should be booming. Norway sells its North Sea oil to the UK at double the price. UK, which is better situated on the North Sea for purposes of energy than Norway, should drill, baby drill. It's absolutely crazy that they don't.
And you can see there the price of crude's at $92 right now. They do say later in this collection of clips that they're expecting the price of crude to peak in a few weeks and then start going down after that. That's if there's no more fighting. And right now it looks like it's paused at least. A couple of destroyers did go through the strait to get to the other end, and they're blocking ships on either side. That's what they're saying. We've also heard reports that at least two Chinese ships may have gotten through. So it's going to be interesting. But there you see sort of what Trump is doing. He's showed the videos of the sea maps. And guys, see if y'all can find that. Is it right now? Is it at 88 right now? So it's dropped even from then, from when that news was posted this morning. So it's gone down a little bit. You can see there it is on April 14th, right there above 90, and then it drops down. Yeah, interesting. So it happened. That happened later today. So it's will we see the change in gas prices? No, it doesn't seem like that we're going to see the change in gas prices doesn't change with the oil. It seems to go up and then kind of taper off. It'll take a long time to go down. But in Austin, I think last week the price was at $3.99 at the place near the office, and now it's at $3.79. So it's down 20 cents, but it did that in one day. So I don't know how I think they're, you know, cashing in, obviously. When they see the price go up, they're like, oh, we can make a little money here. And then when it starts going down, they start competing with each other. Like, I'll drop it down lower, then I'll drop it down lower, then I'll drop it down lower. All right, let's go to Mike Waltz on the let's do this. Guys, put up the number next segment in about 20 minutes. I want to take some of your calls, 877-789-2539, on what we're talking about here in Iran. I'm going to cover some other things, a little bit on Viktor Orban in Hungary and what's going to happen now that they have a new leader who seems to be more EU-centric. I predicted a few days ago that they're just going to open it up to mass migration. And, of course, their new leader's like, well, we're not going to open it up totally yet, but, you know, we're going to leave our fence up. That doesn't mean anything. I think the jig is up for Hungary. They're going to become like the rest of Europe. So, phone number one more time, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. And what we're going to do is I'm going to take calls in the second long segment of this hour. And then we're going to have Michael Cargill on to talk about the shooting that took place in Austin. In East Austin, with a couple of his employees were involved in it, and so then we'll take your Second Amendment calls then in that segment. So if you want to talk Second Amendment, call in next hour, and then the third hour I'm going to put on my fluoride and health presentations, and then we can talk about anything else kind of on the table. But for now, I'd like to hear what your kind of the way it looks like the Iran war is shaping up to be is. Trump is now closing off the Strait of Hormuz for Asia, India, Europe, for these guys to get their energy. And then saying, hey, look, I don't know if you guys found it yet, but he put it out a couple days ago, and it was a video of showing all the tankers and all the ships, and they were all going to the Gulf of America to fill up in Texas and Louisiana. And I actually pulled this up a while back, when they were talking about how important Karg Island is. And if you go and look at Karg Island from above, you can do this on Google Maps, just type in Karg Island. You can see it's got about 50 of those ground tankers that they fill up with oil and keep it there until it's ready to be pumped into ships. You know, you could go also look at Westlake, Louisiana, which is near where I used to live in Sulphur and Lake Charles. And there's probably, I don't know, three times as many tanks like that in just one little area of Louisiana that is putting out probably 3 to 4 times more oil. And then that doesn't count the rest of the Gulf Coast when you go into Houston and Texas City and then moving along in other areas on the coast where there's a lot of refineries. And, you know, they've set it up for since the 40s and 50s, they started dredging these canals for tankers to go through. So we definitely have way more capacity than what Iran is capable of. And so Trump is telling Europe, hey, go to your North Sea, start doing that. It looks like Canada in Alberta is going to vote for independence at some point. And they have massive oil reserves. You've got our oil reserves. You've got Venezuela. He's really wrapping up the fossil fuel energy sector with this war. Obviously, I think it was done on bad pretenses. It was done, a sneak attack. I don't think they really thought it through. And I think they were going following Israel's lead, who said, we're just going to attack because, their first instinct is to attack. So 121 empty oil tankers heading to the U.S. So that's going to be interesting. So I want to hear your calls on that. We got Baker in California already saying Trump blew his goodwill. You hang tight. Melania Trump on the list. Charlie was on. That'll be interesting. We'll talk to Lynn in Ohio. We got Tim in Seattle. InfoWars Army and Bill Gates. That's Tim who goes out there and bullhorns. Tim, if you're bullhorning out there now, come in with maybe we'll go to you with 10 seconds of bullhorning or so before we bring him in. Maybe we'll do that, guys. Look at his X post, see if he's live, so we can even go to some of that. But let's go to Mike Waltz on the Strait blockade and what that means right now. He's saying that no ships have gone through. It looks like China is saying a couple have gone through, but here's what Mike Waltz, ambassador to UN, is saying.
Yes, the vice president said they've laid out a very basic framework for Iran to behave as a normal nation. Number one, stop supporting terrorist proxies. Number two, you cannot have a nuclear program, as not only President Trump has said, as the United Nations has said in resolution after resolution for decades. That's both enrichment and highly enriched uranium. And you have to open the sea lanes. And that's this latest action from the president that says you cannot hold the entire world hostage. You cannot, even though this Iranian regime started its existence by trying to holding Americans mm-hmm. hostage. You can't hold the world's economies hostage. He has flipped the script. You have tremendous naval assets there. And the Central Command just put out its statistics in the sense of it is turning Iranian ships around. Iran doesn't get to choose the winners and losers on the global economy. The United States will do that until all ships are open. So no ships come out or all ships come out.
The Strait of Hormuz was the biggest trump card that Iran held. That was their biggest point of leverage. The president seems to have taken that away from them. And if he can open up the rest of the strait by using the two guided missile destroyers that are there now and mine-clearing equipment that we have got, and maybe some that other countries have as well, I mean, the Iranians have no choice but to come back to the table.
We put our two destroyers through. Minesweeping operations are ongoing, mm-hmm. John, and you're absolutely right. What President Trump has done is taken that leverage, taken Iran trying to hold the entire world's economies hostage, has taken that off the table now with this action. I mean, we cannot, I can tell you from the United Nations standpoint, live in a world where two parties have a conflict, regardless of whether you agree with the conflict or not, and you have, I don't know, a country trying to shut down the Strait of Gibraltar or the Bering Strait or any other international waterway as leverage in a conflict. We've taken that off the table, and that isolates the whole issue mm-hmm. to what President Trump has been consistent on since the 1980s, even since before he was in politics. We cannot have a genocidal regime with its finger on a nuclear button.
Yeah, and you can find that there's an old clip of Trump talking about Iran back then. And, to be honest, what did Obama do? Obama gave him money. What did Biden do? Biden gave him money, which we call him Biden. Before that, it was always, just kind of placate these guys since they, they basically, so you got to go back to when we funded their overthrow and put the Shah in, and then there was a coup there, and they kicked the Shah out, which was wrong. That was totally wrong for us to do that. And that's what happens when and you see how that changed with Venezuela. They just removed the leader and said, hey, you guys play ball. We're going to come do this again. Now, yeah, if you're going to be a big bully country, you can get by doing that. But at some point you have to start negotiating in good faith. And are we negotiating in good faith? I don't know. That's going to be, that's what we're going to see here in the future. So I kind of want to go to Baker in California real quick to talk about how Trump blew his goodwill. We got about 8 minutes, and then I'll get to these clips again. Let's go to Baker in California. I kind of like, I want to hear what he has to say. Go ahead, Baker. Welcome.
Rob New, welcome. Thank you. Listen, man, you know what's crazy is that Trump had such momentum because we know who our enemy is. It's the Democrats. They openly hate this country. They openly want to collapse it and overwhelm the system. So that's a given. And I think a lot of people are really reluctant to turn against Trump because they feel like if they go against Trump on this, they're letting the Democrats win. And so it's like a knee-jerk reaction because he's our only dude in the arena right now. So, and like all of the independent voters, all the people who never voted for Trump gave him a chance. He had, I mean, dude, that electoral map is like so famous. And even in Democrat places. And, you know, when we saw Doge, we saw everyone freak out on the left, but it wasn't like, it was more popular than it seemed, just because it got it to the heart of a lot of the corruption. And I think when he got rid of that is kind of when it started to go downhill. But I mean, dude, people were so stoked on Trump. Even, you know, all the people that hated him, they weren't the ones in the majority anymore. The media was seen as lying. And all of the traits that were good about Trump, you know, being dismissive of the fake news, now it's bad because I think he's doing something where we need to have a real discussion. And it's like, oh, you're just the fake news trying to, do you know what I mean? All of the strong qualities of Trump are now is like, are terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot. If that makes sense. There's a lot of knee-jerk reactions, and I think a lot of this stuff, like I said before, like a lot of his economic policies, I don't think we're going to see the fruits of those bear out for another year or so, because it takes a long time. You know, you got a big tanker and you're turning that thing around. It's not just going to turn. You know, it's not going to do a hairpin turn. You know, you're not going to drift into it. It takes a while for this stuff to actually happen, and I think we were seeing that in 2020, and that's why they brought in COVID. Well, it seems like this is the next thing. Let's do this and try to cause an energy, you know, crisis across America. That's what looks like is trying to happen. I you know, I wasn't in the meetings. The New York Times, I think Megyn Kelly was quoting the New York Times saying they had gotten this info that Trump was being led on the nose by Bibi. But then other people in there are saying, no, that's not how it happened. They brought the information out and Trump decided to act. I don't know if we're ever going to know the truth on that or not. I and honestly, at the end of the day, that kind of stuff. What does this say? Had presented George, yeah, with plans to attack Iran. Yeah, all refused, but before Trump agreed. So that's interesting. But now you look at all that. It looks like we got a lot of traffic of people coming in wanting some oil to bring to market, and that's a good sign for us. The rest of the world's kind of getting screwed out of this, but also Trump told them before. He was in there in the UN telling Germany, hey, you better stop depending on Russia. You're going to have problems. And they're sitting there laughing at him. And now what's wrong with Germany? They can't get energy. So because they basically got rid of all their nuclear reactors and they think windmills and unicorn farts are going to power the country. And it's not. Now they have like classes to dance in the wintertime to keep you warm. So that's the mindset you're dealing with the rest of the world, at least the Western world. They have this kind of pie in the sky, you know, climate change stance on everything. So it's ridiculous. Thanks for the call, Baker. I do agree. Trump did lose a lot of goodwill. I mean, we saw that one. It was an article, guys. See if you can find it. It was like a $2 or $3 trillion in payments that were going, that Doge uncovered, and they were just going to some account. And they're like, oh, we don't know where it went. We have no idea. Yet the IRS can find every little time you took a fart underneath in the swimming pool, and a little bubble popped up, and they're like, oh, we identified that bubble, you know, but they don't know where this trillions of dollars of money just like leaked out of the giant boat. Like it's like a Titanic iceberg hit, you know? Oh, we can't find that though. That's how you know this whole game is rigged and it has to. Okay. 4.7 trillion. I'm sorry. Doge says it found nearly untraceable budget line item responsible for 4.7 trillion in payments. Now, how is that untraceable? How could that be untraceable? We have a system, nearly untraceable. And when was that? That was February, a little over a year ago, we found a giant hole in our hull, just, you know, bleeding money everywhere. And was often left blank, meaning traceability is almost impossible. Well, then how did it get to go out? Like, how is there not a safeguard? Like, and I guess they put that in afterwards, but it's like, okay, 4.7 trillion. Then you go look and see about that time when these dates happened, who was putting money in their accounts? And you don't have AI that can find that? Yeah, right. Oh yeah, AI doesn't know now. AI stupid now. Right. But everything else, AI good. So totally ridiculous, and that's what we're dealing with. All right, let's just go to this clip. This is the future. This is clip four. We'll skip, obviously, by closing off the strait, they're putting pressure on Iran because that's really the only way they can get oil out and make money. And if they can't, China's trying to put pressure on them. China's now going to have to start buying oil on the open market, not getting deals from Iran. So let's go to the future after Iran, clip four.
Iran wants to remain a rogue regime. And if the same regime is in place, can you ever have real peace and stability across that region, or are they going to continue to try to screw with everybody there?
Well, they have their radical actors, no doubt, who solely exist to export the revolution. And as I pointed out to the ambassador from Iran at the United Nations, name me a country that is better off because of Iran's export of terrorism. Certainly not Lebanon, certainly not Syria, certainly not Yemen,
not
Gaza, or anywhere else. But we do think we're dealing with some rational actors. They have to deal with the clerics, and they have to deal with the Ayatollahs. But look right across the Gulf. This is what I point out, too. Look at Dubai. Look at Manama. Look at Kuwait City. Look at Riyadh. I mean, Oman, they are exploding. In terms of growth and a better life for not only their citizens, but for the next generation. We'll see if we don't box them in to
that.
Yeah, I mean, no
the one
path.
Thing that's holding that whole region back is Iran.
Well, and for so many people who talk about the pivot to Asia, you know what? When President Trump finally solves this problem that sucks us back in the Middle East over and over again because of the violence that Iran exports, then we'll be able to really focus on the rest of the world.
You know, I don't know if you remember, in Trump's first term, his first visit outside of the country, he went to Saudi Arabia, and he put his hands on the orb, which has been made into many memes. But if you look at the rest of the Middle East, except for Yemen, that's kind of an outlier. But the rest of the Middle East is like, look, we're ready to come into the 21st century. We're going to do it better on human rights. They're not going to be perfect. I mean, these are old systems that are going to take a while to change. They're not going to, like I said, you're not going to drift the tanker into a new world. And so it's going to take time for these to change. But you can see all the other countries have changed except Iran. And then you got Yemen. And then obviously Israel is going to be a problem. They're going to be looking out for their own interests. So, I think you need to cut, Tucker said it the other day, cut complete ties with Israel. Just treat them as we treat other countries. And that's where they need to go. They don't need to be this best buddy on best buddy terms with us anymore. But we do use them to launch attacks for, or have them launch attacks for us across the Middle East. People say Israel controls us. I think they control some of our politicians. But at the end of the day, you know, they're a small little nippy chihuahua, and we are the big bulldog, whether people believe that or not. You could see the other presidents weren't agreeing to go attack, but Trump did because he saw something in there, and this is something he's been looking at, you know, since the 80s, if you look at those old videos of him talking about it. So when we come back, we're going to go to your calls. We got a great show. Michael Cargill is going to come in here talking about the Second Amendment, and we got a whole bunch more in store. Stay tuned. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob New. You can follow me on X at Dews News, DewsNewz.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Shows like this, like the War Room, to talk about these issues, because these are issues no one's going to bring up. Like this. So I guess Viktor Orban lost, and I tweeted this a couple days ago. Europe's going to need more countries to start, or needs more countries to start housing and paying for migrants. You can see what's happening in the UK. You can see what's happening in Ireland. People are sick of it. They're revolting. I think there's a guy, see if you can find it. Someone in the Irish Parliament just resigned over what's happening right now. They're like, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to be sending troops to beat up citizens. And since these are all from, this is from yesterday, Hungary, new government needs to restore the rule of law. Oh, what's the rule of law? Opening up your borders to migrants. It means following the EU and what they say to do. There it is right there. Restore assembly rights. Basically, what they want them to do is start taking in migrants. That's what's going on. So you're going to see at some point they're going to open their door to migrants. I didn't mark these earlier. I marked them on the computer, but then they didn't. I thought these were going to print out with the marks on them. They didn't do it. But I had the spots where they. In fact, I'll find these and I'll go over these later in the show because I want you to read what they say especially what the new leader is saying about what he's going to do with migrants. This is very important. That's Peter Maigar of the Tisza party. And I think there's pictures of him wearing a yarmulke. So I'm not sure if that makes him Jewish or if he's just wearing the yarmulke to be, you know, part of the club. I got to find that. I got to, because you really got to read what he says about the migrants. He's like, oh no, we're not going to open our borders up. Oh, here it is. Yeah. On migration, Tisza is expected to tone down what has been Orban's vitriolic rhetoric on refugees' rights and willingness to compromise on certain issues. And, of course, there's a $200 million fine that Hungary has been paying over its refusal to uphold the rights of asylum seekers in breach of EU law. So that's what they're talking about, the rule of law. EU saying, hey, you have to let in migrants. And the people are going, you know, Hungary's going, no, we'll just pay the fine. Tisza has signaled he will retain a hard line on border protection, including maintaining a controversial border fence and opposing relocation quotas. What we won't see is Orban's high-profile anti-immigration campaigning and civilization rhetoric. We will also not see him rushing to the border to get rid of the fence that Orban built as his first act. Yeah. See, it's coming. He was supported by all kinds of voters. And so while he is a little more right-wing, he'll have to consider different needs. He will toll down symbolic issues on culture and migration, but he is unlikely to move towards major liberal issues. Oh, yeah, right. What you saw in Hungary, which is why J.D. Vance went down there to campaign for him, is a massive media campaign. And you can see what the media has done here. The media has got everybody at each other's throats. Because they need people fighting. They need people out in the streets seeing what you... Because only the media could train people and to make it seem like it's okay that a giant hobgoblin-like ogre person would push a little woman like Savannah Hernandez to the ground really hard. For no reason. She wasn't even attacking them. She was saying, hey, don't blow your whistle in my ear. That type of thing. So... We'll get into that, but let's go to your calls real quick. We're going to go to Tim in Seattle, but first we got a quick clip of Tim from yesterday going after the Bill Gates Foundation. Go ahead. Let's play that clip. Oh, we don't have audio? Oh, it's playing real slow, too. It's probably the computer's dying. All right, let's just go to Tim. Tim, sorry, I tried to give you a good intro, but man, the rain, are things just moving really slow in Seattle? Is that how it's supposed to look, that slow?
Maybe. I'd be there right now since you said that, but it's just raining. It would kill all the audio equipment. But I don't know how America is dealing with all this tyranny. You know, we're realizing that the rug is being pulled out from underneath us time and time again, over and over again, by the people that we trusted. We exhibited our desperation. They know that we're at the 11th hour, right, and yet they still rug us. I don't know how people are dealing with it. For myself, going out with the bullhorn is the only thing I could possibly. I mean, I know that they want the civil war. They want us to have violence in the streets. They've spent trillions of dollars to try to get us to that point. Now, I don't want to give it to them, but I don't know how the rest of the United States is dealing with all this stress. How do you get it off your chest, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do it? I suggest getting a bullhorn. If you're pulling your hair out, if you're angry at your family, if you're snapping at your coworkers and stuff, maybe you need to do that at the globalist. Maybe you should do that to them.
Yep. I would say bullhorning's good. Taking a walk is good. Exercising's good. I try to ride my bike at least 40 miles a week. Even, you know, we're having kind of rainy weather here. Not quite like Seattle, but it's still a bit rainy. And, you know, you have to get this stuff off your chest and find other things to do. And don't dwell. A lot of the stuff you're not going to be able to change. You know, change the things you can change. And have the wisdom to know the difference, you know, because there's some things you can't change. It's a serenity prayer I just butchered. But, you know, how are we dealing with it? I would say find people that you wouldn't normally be, you know, friends with and see if you can come up with a dialogue. Start dialoguing with people because we have to change people's minds to realize that the person across the street from is not their enemy. The person down the street from, the person working at the grocery store is not their enemy. You know, we're all in the same boat, but they've got us sitting there fighting in the lifeboat over, you know, three life jackets when we're all sitting in a boat. But they're like, oh, you have to fight over these life jackets. And it's like, no, you just have to, like, pull together and start paddling. That's what we have to do. Go ahead, Tim.
We aim into that, brother. We got to paddle and paddle hard away from the rocks. And that's what I've been advocating for, is for the InfoWars army, the people that have the knowledge. I mean, what good is all this knowledge if you're not going out there and disseminating it to the people that you think are your political enemies, who are just your community? They're your fellow Americans who have been brainwashed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the overall arc is that, you know, to think that the podcasters are going to save us is just retarded. It's going to be the United States people. It's going to be we the people that are going to do anything to stop this, or we're not going to. But if the podcaster army isn't going to ride and stop these orcs, it's going to be us.
But just understand, it's a multi-billion-dollar machine that is in effect right now, and it's a global machine that is making these people fight with each other. It's conditioning them that the person on the opposite side of the political spectrum is their enemy. And I guarantee if you started looking at issues, especially health issues, people would be like, oh, yeah, I want clean water, too. Oh, yeah, I want clean water, too. You know, there's all kind of issues that people agree upon. Maybe we don't agree on free health care, you know, because personally, I look at it as there is no free health care. Somebody's paying for it. And then do you really want the government to give you free health care? Do you really want the government in your business as you know, because I don't think you do. That's just me.
The word for the government is the eugenics industrial complex.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do, Tim. Every time I see you out there bullhorning, I retweet it, and people should do that too, because we need more people. We need like 150 Tim Lasleys out there bullhorning the Gates Foundation. In fact, I have this clip here. It's Albert Bourla, Bill Gates, Fauci, Peter Hotez, Peter Marx, Aish Jha, and Tedros all saying, hey, there's a new pandemic coming. Because you know why? You know why they're out there saying that? Because we didn't punish them the last time they tried to destroy the entire world economy with their fake bullcrap bioweapon that they put out and made people, you know, set up the tracking and tracing grid and set up the testing locations and do all that. That was all a test run for the new thing that they're going to try to push down your throats. And here they are talking about it. This is clip 5.
COVID was, for me, like a rehearsal.
There will absolutely be an outbreak of another pandemic. It may be next year.
You know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembly.
We know what's next. A new wave of pandemics is going to be upon us.
I'm convinced that there will be another pandemic.
Oh, certainly we'll have one in the next 25 years. You know, there's even some pathogens out there that we're watching over right now.
And so I probably put bioterror, which is a really awful.
We are going to see a whole new age of biological weapons. We have to grapple with that reality because that is what is coming.
I can't go into all the details, but there are man-made threats that we were prepared to deal with.
When the next pandemic comes, knocking, and it will, we must be ready to answer decisively.
You know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you
you know, I'd say is will get attention this time.
God. I mean, just look at the duper's delight on Bill, especially Bill Gates. Guys, if you could just go back to the middle spot where it's that close-up of Bill Gates and he's smiling, just get me a still of that, because that's your enemy right there. That's the enemy of humanity. That is a man that wants, not that one, it's more close-up. He's like bending that one right there. Look at that. Find where he's smiling. Look at that. Oh, that's an evil man right there. I mean, he can't wait. He can't wait to kill billions of people. There it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the face. That's the face right there of an evil scientist. An evil scientist that always wants to stack the deck in his favor and kill you in the process. Let's go to Lynn in Ohio. Melania Trump on the list Charlie was on. Go ahead, Lynn. Explain.
Yes, sir. In my day, a man could plead temporary insanity. And I think Trump is temporarily insane because Mr. Alex, he told us that they had been separated. And that's a terrible feeling to have somebody you thought was going to be there to the end with you, and they're walking out, you know. So I can understand why he is, you know, just don't give a damn.
So you think Melania is sort of separating herself from him? We haven't seen any like public reports of that. I know Jones talked about that on Sean Johnson's podcast, and as well on InfoWars, I believe on his Saturday show that he did, his Saturday special broadcast. He has brought that out. We haven't seen that come out in the news, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I mean, Jones's sources so far, and especially in the last year, have been like spot on every time.
But if something happens to him, the first suspect is Mossad to Melania, because she's going after the same people that Epstein was protecting. And, you know, and then Charlie Kirk, he spoke out. It's quite a litmus test. I'm wondering who in the Congress is going to be a chivalrous knight and pick up the gauntlet and protect our First Lady. Killing the president's one thing, but killing our First Lady? No way.
You know, I don't see that happening, but you never know, man. Weirder things have happened. Well, if that were to happen, I think you would see Trump unleashed, because Barron and his mom are very close. And I heard parts of this theory on the No Agenda podcast. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'll let you guys. Basically, Melania going out there and saying all these women need to testify is sort of throwing down the gauntlet, because there's a lot of these women who claim to be victims in the Epstein crime, whatever it is. Okay. They claim to be victims. They claim to be trafficked children, but they were older. They were looking for modeling contracts. They were over 18. It was sort of like what you see in the movies with Harvey Weinstein, the casting couch. Hey, you want a part in this movie? Boom. You gotta suck on Harvey Weinstein. And what I think the reason she said that, there's a lot of women who have come out and said, oh, I'm a victim. And especially the ones that attacked Trump and saying Trump was part of it. Cause there are some women that say that, and some women say they never saw him do anything bad. But the ones that are saying it also aren't really speaking out, because they're saying they're under NDAs. So by her saying you have to go in front of Congress, you can look this up. If you're called in front of Congress to testify, you can break your NDA. So she's, I think, is basically calling out these women who are claiming to be victims, saying, hey, you all need to come march in front of Congress. You all need to answer questions, because we are kind of sick of what you're saying over and over again. Now, I believe we do have some real victims. The lady, I forget the lady's name, but we've had her on. I believe she's a victim. She was younger. There's a lot of other people who are victims in this, but I think there's a lot of people who jumped on the gravy train. They were involved with Epstein, and they're like, oh, this is a quick way to make some money. You could look up, you know, the settlements that Jamie Dimon paid out, millions in settlements to people, but it's all being blocked by NDAs. So how do you get around that? You call these people in to testify. Gloria Allred, was saying, oh, yeah, we want people to come, but not by subpoena. They have to be invited. But by inviting them, you don't have to go. By subpoena, you have to go. You're compelled to go. And that's what we're not seeing. So, you know, if Congress is going to do something, subpoena every one of these people that claims to be a victim, get them up there under protection. They're under congressional protection. They can say whatever they want. They can't be sued for it after that. So I think that's one way to get around this and get the truth. I just want the truth. I don't care what the truth is. Give me the truth. I mean, I have some things that I think were going on, but I want the truth. All right, let's go to Marcus in Idaho. How's it going, Marcus?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say we elected Trump because we felt he had a vision that was greater than ours, that he could see something for America and see how to right the ship. And our ship, I mean, I think everybody would agree that we were in very bad straits, and Trump inherited a nation that was going very badly. And there's a lot behind it. Like you said, that takes a long time to turn that ship around. So he is really doing everything that he can for us, and he's had a crisis in the Middle East that had to be addressed, and he's addressing it. So I think that people are just too upset about that. I think that battle axe that was sent to Alex was a sign from God saying, hey, you know what? Trump is the battle axe, and you need to just get behind him and stop trying to beat him down.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. Over the weekend, we got in contact. I think the Sun contacted Harrison, the son of the guy. He saw Harrison's video that Harrison put up about it being a miracle, and people were saying, there's no way that happened. You know, that didn't happen. And, you know, I'll tell you how this happened, the whole battle axe thing. So that morning, it was after the show had started. So I'd say sometime between 11:30 and 12:15, the guy who runs our kind of our front office, the InfoWars store, he brought over this thing and it was wrapped up. And I didn't even see what it looked like. He said, hey, some guy delivered this. It's a battle axe. Normally I don't bring these things over, but this is, you know, this is pretty interesting. So here, he handed it to me. I stuck it behind my desk and it had the letter with it. And it was all wrapped up in like wool cloth and it had these leather ties on it. So I stuck the letter in the ties. I didn't even read the letter. I just went on about my day. I think I was working on something for the show, like trying to get something edited. In fact, I was cutting together the Melania Trump back and forth on Epstein. So I got that out. And then I think that was that day. Everything kind of blends together. And then at one point I'm in the bathroom and I come out of the bathroom and I hear the black preacher talking about the battle axe and Trump's got to be a battle. I'm like, wait a minute. He's saying battle axe. And I just grabbed it and walked over. And as I'm walking over to the studio, I'm untying it, pulling it out. And that's when I first even got a look at it. I'm like, wow, this is really nice. And I brought it to Jones as I'm unwrapping it. I'm like, here, this guy just brought this or just sent this in to us. So, and Jones says, oh, it happened like, it just was delivered 2 minutes ago. Well, it was delivered to the studio about 30 seconds before he talked about it. But to me, I had it maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember, but I hadn't even looked at it. And that, when I read the letter on air, it was the first time I was reading it. And I actually couldn't even read. So the guy's got some very flowery handwriting. Yeah, it's one thing with older people, my age and older, have very interesting cursive writing, which is kind of hard to read nowadays. Now that all I do is read, you know, printouts and stuff and typed out words. So now I'm looking at cursive and I'm like trying to decipher it. Because I thought it was Oklahoma, I think is what I said, is where he was from, but he's actually from Oregon. The R looked like a K to me. But anyway, his son reached out to Harrison. And then his dad, who's the one who made the axe, put an account together and put it out there. And people were like, look, he just put this account together. Well, in that picture that he shows of the battle axe, there's like all these other old axes from that he's been building. Oh, yeah, we put all that together real quick so we could have some sort of dupe on the audience. No, that's not what happened. What happened is what happened. What you see on the air, me sitting down, look how I'm dressed. I'm not ready to go on the air. That's like my editing gear. But I saw that. I heard him talking about the battle axe. I knew we had just been delivered an axe. So I didn't even talk. Like, normally I would wait for the break to tell Alex about it. I said, nope, I'm going in. I'm busting in on the show. This is breaking news. And so that's how it happened right there. You can see how it happened. There's the letter. You can't, I could hardly, you know, I was able to make out some. But what's interesting is that his son was named, I think he said Jeremiah. And I think the pastor was reading an excerpt of Jeremiah from the Bible. He was quoting Jeremiah. And his son was the one who said, just send it, Dad, because he had done it. He had made it already. It had been sitting at his house, and he hadn't sent it off. And his son just said, just send it off. And so by the time it makes it from Oregon, you know, with our shipping system into Austin, and then it sat around for a while, and then I guess he had contacted the front office somehow through the customer service line and said, hey, I see that y'all got the battle axe. Please give it to Alex. And so that guy brought it over, and that's how that happened. Now all those pieces had to come together all at once. I didn't know that guy was going to be on that day. Like, that just all happened. And so what we do here is jazz musician. We're jazz musicians. We all know our jobs, but we don't know what's going to happen every day. So we have to be loose. We have to be ready. We have to be able to, like, change a pace, change a direction really quick. And that's an example of that right there with the battle axe arriving. And there I'm testing the edge. I'm like looking at that edge going, let's see how sharp that is. And I went up there and tested it. Every time I see a knife, I'm always testing the edge to see how sharp it is. Which, by the way, we have some pretty good knives on sale. And I'm just going to turn this into a plug. When you see things like that, you have to go, wow, there's a reason InfoWars is still around. And it's to show people that when people work together, you know, amazing things can happen. A synergy happens. So keep supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. When we shut down, we're not going to be selling InfoWars.com logos and stuff like that. So check out the shirts that are still there. 1776 shirts that are amazing. Check those out. We have the low IQ hat and I believe a shirt. We've also got the InfoWars cooler bundle, $79.99. I checked out the cooler. It's like what you would see, and I'm not sure if it's the exact same, the insulation as a Yeti, but it feels like it. It definitely feels, it's got a Yeti feel to it. I used to have one of those little coolers. And let me tell you another thing you can do with those coolers. You can use them as a carry-on bag. So if you're going to the beach or you're flying somewhere to meet some friends, then you got a cooler already with you. You don't have to go find a cooler for your drinks. You got one there. So check it out, InfoWarsStore.com, or TheAlexJonesStore.com, sorry, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Everything is 60% off today only. Check it out. Support us. We need your support. Thank you.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this hazard put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, We haven't had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theobsessionstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theobsessionstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.